Welcome to the Conquer Your Mountains Week 13 podcast titled Marathon Mindset, Stories of Perseverance and Patience.
If you are following the Conquer Your Mountains reading plan, you are in week 13 that has the name 2 Chronicles, Humbling Ourselves.
My name is Amanda De Wit and I'm a senior editor at the Luca Faith and Inspiration imprint of Penguin Random House South Africa.
And I am Mandla Moyo, the author of the motivational book Conquer Your Mountains, and also the author of a brand new science fiction book called The Fallen Angel.
Let's kick off. I see you have marked page 50 in the Conquer Your Mountains book. What have you highlighted there?
In the race of life, it is true that sprints are won by those with might and power, but it is even more true that marathons are completed by those who are humble enough to acknowledge and work on their weaknesses over many months of toil.
Don't hold back. Tell me more. So what does this have to do with humbling ourselves?
So page 50 expands on this. It says we reap crops and accumulate long-term provision by delaying gratification. We don't reap crops by running a proud life of instant gratification, because that can eventually lead us to eating the seeds that we should have waited to grow.
Is this what you call the marathon mindset?
Yeah, I'd say it is. In my view, a marathon mindset is the opposite of sprinting. It's about steady perseverance and being patient for the long-term outcome. You can sprint a one-hour online course, for example, but a four-year degree requires a marathon. You can sprint to a temporary job, but a career needs thousands of hours of investment. They say to be good at anything, you need 10,000 hours, actually. When you run a marathon, your question is not about if you will have the run finished without pain, but rather when the pain will come. It's about being strong through adversity, knowing that whether there's rain, heat, or wind, that will not stop you from achieving the thrill of finishing. And I'd say all things of value can only be achieved through a long and patient road that is so long that you can't even see over the horizon. So that's what I see as a marathon mindset.
This is very interesting. Before we dig further into the marathon metaphor, tell me about your next big race or races. How long have you been training and how long is the race?
I've been living marathon metaphors for many years. So my next race is not quite a marathon. This year I'm doing a few marathons, but more the 21Ks. I've got a 30K race this Sunday. And the training routine looks like about 40 kilometers to 50 kilometers a week. That's the investment I need to get to race day. I also work on eating strategies for the race, cramping strategies, and yeah, being ready to keep pushing over a run that will take almost 4 hours.
Wow, good luck with that. That sounds that sounds hectic. So for those of us who've never run a marathon before, how do you apply that marathon mindset to life?
First of all, you need to be clear on your goal and how long it will take you to get to that goal. So in my case, if I run a marathon, I know it will take me 5 hours or even more. I'm not the fastest, but knowing how long I'll be on the road is important. And also imagining what finishing will feel like. So if you've got a large project that you're about to embark on, just see yourself at that finish line. What will it look like when you have closed that deal or got that job or got that promotion or finished that project? And then you need to embrace the pain it will take to get there. So anticipate the pain it will come and embrace it. Create a positive internal dialogue. When I used to run really, really long races, I used to write notes for myself that I'll read later, mainly motivational quotations. And I'll dig into those when that tough got going. And also break down your marathon project into pieces. You can't eat an elephant in one bite. Just think of all those pieces that you need to get through. And two more points would be to celebrate each part of the journey.
That's so important. Yes.
It is. And be prepared to adapt and to adjust. Because what if that marathon or that journey of life is windier or hillier than you expected? What if it's blazing hot? What if you break down early and you need to get to plan B or plan C all the way to plan Z?
So it's being flexible in your approach, that endurance with keeping the end goal in mind, having a positive mindset throughout and taking it as it comes, every step of the way, literally, of the marathon. That's wonderful. Thank you so much. Let's dig into three of your stories briefly. What is a story of the marathon mindset from a business perspective, would you say?
Yes, I've been in business for over 20, 25 years and been through many businesses. One aspect for me that was the marathon was helping to set up a health not-for-profit company in 2011. And we had to be really patient. It took us almost 10 years to start really breaking through and seeing the impact that we wanted to make. We had many successes along the way, but it was a journey of patience. And often when you help to set up something, you always think it would be instantaneous. But when I look back, it was a lot of small victories, which ultimately led to bigger victories as we gathered momentum. And we were able to celebrate all the people that helped us along the way. So I'd say that was a business version of a marathon. And most businesses that I've worked with, it's always been a marathon. I haven't yet come across a project where you think of something and you snap your finger and you're suddenly making profits a few months later. It often takes years of planning and toiling and striving.
That makes so much sense. And I think a lot of people perhaps give up like just before the breakthrough happens or just before they get to where they're really going. That's where the perseverance comes in again, definitely, and the endurance mindset. And the marathon mindset, how did you apply that to your journey as an author, would you say?
My author journey was long. It did get shorter on my next book. On my first book, that was a 12-year journey. A lot of that was because I wasn't properly on the journey. It was writing a bit, leaving the project for a few years, going back to it, adding, subtracting. So 12 years was too long a marathon. I wouldn't recommend that, writing a book. And then my next book took me about 3 to 5 months to research and write, a lot quicker than my first endeavor. But even then, it's still a marathon. I think the whole finalizing, publishing process, it can take about a year before you are on the shelves. So you have to be really patient and focused.
Absolutely. And I've often noticed, and in my experience, I've seen that the writing of the actual book is the tip of the iceberg. Yes. So all the research and the planning and the character development and everything else that goes into it, that's the bulk of the work of writing. People always think the big job in writing is just sitting down and writing, but it's all the preparation leading up to that, the research and everything, and all the work that you have put in mentally and in the planning. So that's really a focused part of the marathon mindset, I would say. And last one in the section, the marathon mindset in your journey as a family man. How would you explain that and discuss that for us a bit?
Yeah, raising a family is also not a sprint. My two boys are quite big now, men almost. And a family journey for me is been a 20-year journey as a parent. And Amanda, I know you're also a parent. It's not a quick journey. Even starting from changing nappies to preschool, high school, and all the key seasons of life. I think raising a family is not a sprint, but it is also a very rewarding journey.
Absolutely. With children, for example, and being with a family, it's a continuous everyday effort. It's not okay. Yeah. Given my all today, I am now done being a family man at the end of the day. No, tomorrow morning you stand up and it all begins again. And it's that having that continuous mindset to pull you through it and like every day begin again anew with a fresh start and a fresh focus. That's so true.
And on your side, Amanda, describe the marathon mindset where you've had to wait for God to intervene in any situation.
I think for me, it really came into play with my purpose and my career and really what I love doing right now as being a senior editor. I really enjoy my work and I really had to work hard to get here. I found my passion quite late in life. Or let's say I knew what my passions were and my skills and talents were, but I didn't know how everything was going to amalgamate in the end to bring it all together. So I only got into publishing in my late 30s, but I've always been a book lover and I've always been really great at project management and organizational skills, but I had to learn how to walk the road and see, because I wasn't always sure when God had me in a place like, why do you have me here, God? What am I doing here? What is the purpose of you teaching me these skills? And now that I look back, I see that every course I did, every degree I studied for, every job I had, it all amalgamated into this perfect little mix that makes me really enjoy what I'm doing right now and good at what I'm doing right now. So it took many years for my own career to develop into something fruitful, would I say, where I feel like I'm serving myself, I'm serving God, and I'm serving the community. So yeah, it took a while to get there. But now if I look back at it, I see that it was all preparation, that part of the iceberg that you don't see, that you don't notice. And like you say, it takes a while. There's no instant fix for these things. Yeah. Working on a career, working on a family, working on a big project like a book, it's not a drive-through at a fast food restaurant where you can just order quickly, pay and get to the next window and pick up your package. I think that was for me definitely.
I like that analogy that it's not a fast food pickup.
No, we're used to instant coffee and we're used to instant food and we're used to so many instant things in today's life. And people have lost some patience and some perseverance in the course of it because we are so used to everything being instantly available. So
if you think of the instant food, it's actually not that instant. It's instant for you when you get it or when you get that instant coffee. But all it means is that someone else has spent hundreds of hours preparing it.
Exactly.
By the time you got it, it was instant. So maybe there is no instant anything.
Exactly. Absolutely. And that actually nails the fact down that nothing really is instant. For everything, there is hard work. So whether you're doing it or somebody else is doing it and it just seems instant, there was still preparation. There was still ground laying and foundation boring and all those kind of things. So yeah, definitely. So enough about me. What are famous stories of people who made it after years of perseverance? I heard of quite a few. So
yeah, one of them was Walt Disney. The whole Disney empire has endured for, I think it's been over 100 years now. But the interesting thing is that when Walt Disney was setting up, he had numerous setbacks when he was on his way to his dream. He was actually fired for lacking creativity, which is odd when you think of what he created. And he went bankrupt a number of times. It took him 8 years for his first big breakthrough when he came up with the Mickey Mouse concept. And that's one of the characters that has endured for many decades. And it's just amazing to see people in business like that persevered in the days when they probably wanted a sprint, but they ended up in a marathon.
That's very inspirational. So tell me more about these lessons from Walt Disney.
One lesson there is to keep searching for a breakthrough and also not to hold back just because someone has criticized you. So if Walt Disney had shrunk because he was told that he wasn't creative enough, imagine all the frustrations that the world would have missed out on. So for me, the biggest story there is perseverance. You do have to learn your lessons, though. So often when you get feedback, it's not that you must ignore it. I think you need to process it. And some feedback is good. I think all feedback actually takes you further along on your path. And another example that I know you like, Amanda, is Thomas Edison.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
He always said to me that when his light bulb, because he invented the light bulb, but I remember he said to me a few weeks ago that after all the failures, he said that he had found 10,000 ways that don't work in a light bulb. And I know you like that example.
Absolutely, because it's such a positive approach to failure. And I like some of my other, one of the other quotes that I really like was that failure is a necessity for success.
Yes.
You have to want to be willing to fail because you will see how it doesn't work and what you then don't want. So yeah, that's one of the things I really like about Thomas Edison and his attitude towards 10,000 failures.
And do you come across failure and success in the publishing industry?
We do. I mean, sometimes you think maybe a book will work and then you find that it didn't work, or maybe the cover was wrong for the market or something like that. Failure happens everywhere and you learn from it. You're like, okay, yes, so that didn't work, so next time we take this approach. And I think that's very important, to learn from your failures, not to sit and wallow in them, but you do use them actually as a stepping stone. So error is not something that you should judge yourself for. It's something like, oh, okay, so I know better now. I think it was Maya Angelou that said, now don't judge yourself for what you did wrong when you didn't know better. But now that you know better, do better. So I think that's important to actually elevate your work and yourself.
Yes, that's so true. I think one of the writers that others thought really persevered was J.K. Rowling, the author of Harry Potter.
Oh, absolutely.
And I saw somewhere how she was rejected probably dozens of times with her first manuscript.
Definitely.
Yeah, and it's amazing how authors like that make it even after facing lots of no's.
Definitely. And then and Stephen King, I mean, he broke out with a bang into the writing world, and then later into the movie world, even with Carrie. It was his first book. But he gave up on Carrie and literally chucked it in the dustbin. And his wife picked it out of the dustbin and she read it and she gave it back to him and she said, finish it, I want to know what happens. So that was something he gave up on and completely, like putting it in the dustbin, that's completely giving up on it, until somebody handed it back to him and said, listen, just because you don't believe in it, I believe in it. I want to know what happens. And so if it wasn't for that, he wouldn't have been published, and he's one of the most famous authors today. I mean, so yeah, that's also another great example of failures. I think I've read somewhere that his first book is still today not published. Has some failures, so there's quite a bit of that.
All those lessons really talk about these people having the marathon mindset, where they could have given up but they kept pushing. As we end today's podcast, there's so much that we can take away from all these examples.
So we've spoken about J.K. Rowling now, but you also wrote a science fiction book, which is a crossover on a fantasy. So are there similarities?
Yeah, so they are similar in terms of the supernatural world. So if I compare to all these other science fiction authors, what stands out with The Fallen Angel is, besides the high tech in this world, it's also the enduring battles about angels and demons, and battle between good and evil. And interestingly, all these stories, there's always a big battle out there in the background.
Classic thing is, it's the big battle out there, but they also have their inner battles. Let's end there before we give it all away. So we'll chat again next time.